Each of those different sales men
have made four calls.
Yeah.
And the Hebrew is the Tekia, the Chevron, and the what's the other one? The Terula, and then the Tekia Gadol.
Okay.
Four calls, and it's basically a call to order, call to service, get ready for war. You know, pay attention type of call.
Very good. All right. Very good. All right, good. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Let's begin with the word of prayer. And let's see, are we on now?
You're on now.
Okay. All right, let's begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the word of God. How grateful we are for the privilege to come together, worship together, fellowship together, glorify Christ together. We pray, Father, that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. All right, let's begin with song.
All right, would you all turn to hymn 87. Hymn 87, Christmas carol called Angels from the Realms of Glory.
Reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there was born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
All right, in keeping with the scripture reading, would you all join us in singing song number 82? Song number 82, "Go Tell It on the Mountain." Just stand, and we've sung this one without backing music before. I know you all know it. "Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born." Verse 1. "While shepherds kept their watching, o'er silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born." To the shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born. And God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
First thing I want to announce, my good friend, John Hintz, a pastor in Arizona, has had a very difficult week, and he wasn't going well, and the doctor called him to ask him to come into the meeting for examination, and they were horrified by what was going on in his heart area, and so they immediately took him into the hospital, and he's been in the hospital about 4 or 5 days, 3 or 4 days, and he's home now, and they're going to be deciding on what is the problem going on with John. So please be in prayer for John Hence and his wife and family this time. Please be in prayer for my wife. She's not doing well at all since Wednesday's operation she was on. So please be in prayer. Please be in prayer for her daughter. And that's very serious. So now, any other prayer requests? Yes.
Would you be in for Eric Ward? You guys know Eric, yeah. And Ray. He had surgery to repair a tear in his hip flexor yesterday, and so it's going to be, I think, 4 to 6 weeks of like zero weight bearing, and he just took a new job and stuff. So he's got a lot going on right now, but if you'd be in prayer for Eric, that the Lord would just give him the strength to keep moving forward and do what he needs to do and heal quickly.
He's going to have to just stay down.
Well, he's going to be able to move around, but he can't put any weight on his leg. So he's on crutches or he's on a scooter. I guess another scooter because he can't put that.
What about work?
Wait, he'll be out for a little while and then he'll be back to work.
Okay.
He won't be out for 6 weeks. So
he's okay. Be back to work. Wow. Let's be in prayer.
Yeah.
All right. And any other prayer requests? Yes, sir.
Praise for my mom. She was.
How's your mom doing?
She was released from the hospital on Tuesday. So she hit. She was in there for pneumonia, is why they put her in the hospital. But she also had a UTI and sinus infection. But they had to get combinations of the antibiotics. But they finally got it all cleared up, so she is released.
Okay, what's going to be her status?
Well, she has been in a wheelchair since her hip breaking, coming up on a year ago. But she's back into her assisted living facility.
Okay.
They have her in skilled nursing for now, but hopefully we'll be releasing her soon back to her assisted living room.
Very good. Okay, any other prayer requests? Yes?
Well, just a prayer for Thomas. This week he has a second qualifying exam for his PhD, and it's a big deal.
Yeah, it is a big deal. All right, we'll be in prayer.
It takes place, I think, on the 9th. I'm not sure.
Okay. Let us know.
Yeah.
He does. All right. Good. Yes.
One of our previous campers, Titan Carlman, his mom, Jennifer, was recently diagnosed with both colon and liver cancer. And it's touching a lot of different families in our community. And in a positive way, I mean, God's already called on a lot of people to provide encouraging. She asked for us all to give her spiritual worship music that she put on a playlist to play in her room over and over again while she was getting chemo 48 hours in a row.
She wants us to pray for music?
her community friends. She's looking in the right direction.
She wants us to pray for music, not for life.
Yeah, no singing for Spring Valley. No. So I am encouraged that we have an opportunity to help her. And in the way of meals and things like that, the moms of these camper people. So I just would ask that we have an opportunity to also talk to Titan. We haven't talked to him in a while. And whatever God is using us in that family's lives to be able to do that.
How long is her recovery or going through this?
We have
no idea.
She just started. So.
Okay. We'll be in prayer.
It's not a good progress. No. It's not good. But
okay.
You know,
we'll be in prayer.
Yeah.
Thank you. And your daughters?
They are great.
They're doing good?
They're doing great.
All right.
Brian will be home Thursday. Prayers for her finals and her travels back home.
Okay, very good. Yes?
One more, because my foot is just not healing. So I just got a steroid shot. It worked for one day. It's sitting here throbbing right now, and I thought, I'm just going to ask for more prayer for my foot. So I'll be starting 6 weeks of a therapy on it, a treatment again, and then if that doesn't work, then maybe surgery, but we're trying to avoid that.
Is your husband keeping you to keep working on it and walking?
It feels so good for 2 days, I probably overdid it. Knowing me, that's what I did.
All right. We'll be in prayer.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes?
This one is for my friend Connie. Her mother is having a hard time breathing because of the pneumonia, not COVID, just pneumonia, and they live in Thailand. Not to mention, Connie and her brother are Christians. So there are quite a few things going on, complications. Because if people on the internet, if you don't know, Thailand is 98% Buddhist. So it's not an easy thing. And now they also have to make a decision to continue to put her mother on the life support, or to let her go.
Okay, be in prayer. Keep us posted.
Yeah, we'll do.
Good, good. All right, yes?
Just prayers for youth, all the youth, and just
piggybacking on what Larry said for Ryan, all of our high schoolers, our college kids that are coming home and have finals going on, and just safe travels coming in. And we've got two opportunities we've been praying for God to open doors for youth. As our kids keep getting older, you know, where is God going to open doors for some of these younger kids? And we are taking some of the youth this next Saturday to Southport Mobile Home Park in Wiley. It is a big mobile home park, and they are very excited for us to come, which is very unusual. That is God working and open those doors. So if you guys would pray for that, for our youth that are going to come, and us, to give us energy and endurance for that. They have told us there'll probably be at least 50, maybe 60 or 70 kids out there. So, you know, we prayed for kids to come, and now we're saying, Lord, bring the kids, and please, please equip us and prepare us. We've been talking, and we're doubling up, tripling up on things we're taking. Everything is focused on the Lord and the true meaning of Christmas, and we're going to have so much fun with these kids. But if you guys would just pray that all glory to God on that, and
I have a question logistically. So when you go to this huge mobile home park, do you have like a pavilion or something you're setting up in?
They have they have a big clubhouse. So the facility is beautiful. It's huge. And so there is, and what we had done in the past in the apartments, when there weren't a lot of kids, our kids would just kind of partner up and be their friend and go around with them and things. Well, we can't do that this weekend. We have to. So just pray about all those parts and pieces. We know God's going ahead of us in this and going to walk alongside us with this. But just pray that the gospel would be shared. These kids would just be open to hear it. And just so it would be
how does this one prepare also for the 18th?
Then the 18th is in Princeton, and it's a sister mobile home park that when we talked to them about this, they said, would you guys please be willing to go to Princeton? Because nobody goes out there. And this is a newer mobile home park, so it's smaller. But when we talked to her, she said still probably 25 to 35 kids, which is amazing.
Beautiful.
She said at that one, the parents don't go to anything. So just pray that God will let us step in and just show a lot of love and them to just hear the truth of Christ. And then we'll share dates about camp and Bible studies and all these other things we have going on, high school retreats. So God's moving and working. He's answering prayer. We just ask you guys to be in prayer for all of that. So.
We'll be in prayer and financially.
Yes.
We want to be a part of that.
Okay.
All three.
Can we also ask, while Lori's talking about Phyllis' music, I know she's better, but what about the cards and all of that stuff? We haven't even mentioned that.
You guys have been a part. Phyllis has been a part of a lot of stuff going on. We ended up sending out 35 freshman college boxes that had Phyllis's card with those, the signatures, a letter from our church and youth ministry, plus in Plano, Larry got together with moms of those freshmen and was able to pray with them over those boxes, and then we did that in Wiley for those other kids and pray with. So lots of people have been part of just praying for these freshmen and these college kids. Y'all saw all the cards in the room, right? Everybody saw those?
Hopefully they signed them.
Some people did. I will ask you guys next year, please, to make some time to do that. There were not a lot of signatures on there. We can do better. So
we did include a letter from Spring Valley that did include, you know, all of you as a group, and prayer, you know, encouragement for them. We've gotten several pictures from kids saying, thank you so much. Yeah. This means so much to me. Thank you, Liberty Ministries. They put it out on social media and shared it with the other people. So it has meant a lot to them. Yeah. Our own daughter didn't get her box. And she kept like, Mom, where's my box? Everybody. So she finally got her box.
Good.
Along with those 35 boxes, another 50 cards went out with gift cards to our sophomores through seniors in college that also had the letter from our church and from the youth ministry and a $20 gift card in each of those. So we had not collected enough to cover that, but we had budgeted for it. But some people are asking, can we still donate to cover those gift card costs? And you absolutely can. So, and we're hearing from those kids too. They might be 20 years old or 21, and you guys, they still appreciate so much that they're being prayed for and that we love them and that they're part of our family and that they always will be. So, and then we 60 veteran cards just went out this week that you guys signed as well from our church and ministry. And we just put a little picture of the balloons going and stuff so they could see what we did. So thank you guys for all the...
And I don't know. I wasn't here last week. Did you share the Thanksgiving things that we did?
I don't know.
Okay, so the other thing that took place, I thought this year, that was very different than what we've done in the past, is each of our homes in Oklahoma, in Wiley, and in Plano, We invited the youth at various situations, whether it's high school or everybody or whatever, to our homes and had a meal with them, prayed with them, shared with them what was happening with the ministry. And I would say in total there was probably 30 to 40 people that we had easily in each of our homes to be able to touch on them and encourage them again before our upcoming events.
Beautiful.
Absolutely. We're continuing to reach out to them. I mean, in our home, we only have like 3 people come a week, but that's irrelevant because God's working way beyond that.
Yeah.
This Monday, we're taking them all to see the Chosen Christmas movie and Plano as a treat from us to them. So.
Good. All right.
Good thing there's only 3, huh?
Well, we told them we got 8 tickets. We got 8 tickets. We told them all to bring 3 another person. Yeah.
So that's thank awesome. You to Phyllis also.
No, sure. No.
Let me tell you about... You may not know Phyllis, but I tell you what, she is a jewel.
Oh, yeah.
I've known Phyllis for years and years, and she's just unbelievable. And what she's so much fun about is that she talks to all the people, not all, but a lot of the people at work or church and life and about Spring Valley Bible Church, about what's going on. And so please be in prayer for her health and for her spiritual momentum as far as glorifying Christ is concerned. She is an ace. I mean, she is just a jewel. So please do that. Please be in prayer. Yeah. Okay, anything else we need? All right, we've got a lot of things going on. We've got South Park, Princeton, Mobile. We've got the things that they're talking about with young people. And all this takes money. Getting the message out takes money. All this takes money. So it's free from Christ, but we get to be a part of this as far as glorifying Christ is concerned. So with this in mind, let's prepare ourselves for the offertory with prayer. Heavenly Father, we know Satan, negative people, are putting forth great effort against Christ, against the gospel. So, Heavenly Father, we consider it a privilege to be a part of it. We pray that you receive the offerings that we're about to give, to continue to use this offering to answer these prayers, things that are going on for the young people, things going on for our church. So, Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.
Morning, would you join us in number 95? Would you turn in the hymnal number 95? Stand and sing with us once again, Angels We've Heard on High.
Have heard on high, sweetly singing, oh.
Okay, new covenant. No pass out, just we're going to do our own studies and get ready for communion this morning. There's probably very few Christians, including pastors, who do not realize that the new covenant is not for the church. The new covenant is not meant for us, and it's for us. We are part of it as far as service, as we're going to see. So we need to understand what the new covenant is in our study this morning. So let's begin this first with a word of prayer and then move into our study. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jesus Christ's work and in the presentation that will be given to Israel. But now, Heavenly Father, we're in the church. It is our privilege, our joy, to be a servant, to serve you, to serve your Son. Pray, Father, that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, the new covenant is referred to 6 times in the New Testament. But we have to go to the Old Testament to learn its content. In fact, we have to go to the New Covenant to really learn about the New Covenant. So, let's turn in our Bibles to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31. This is the New Covenant is recorded. Jeremiah 31, and we will start reading at verse 31. Jeremiah 31:31. So let's read and understand the new covenant. We'll be saying the new covenant in a few moments when we're doing communion. Why? What's going on with it? How are we related to it? If we're not related, why are we even mentioned about it? So we need to develop these things to have an understanding of our purpose of worship this morning. So, the verse 31 starts with, behold. The Hebrew is a declaration that is about to be made. That's what's being going on with the word behold. Pay attention. Now, days are coming. This is an eschatological phrase referring to the messianic times that are definitely future-oriented to us today, as well as in the rewriting of the Bible. But it is future to us, specifically the beginning of the millennial reign, the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord. This is Yahweh, development of Jesus Christ. When I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. This is very important. Church is not involved. It's the house of Israel, the house of Judah. He will make a new covenant. Now, we know who the maker of the new covenant is. That's the Lord. We also know who the parties of the new covenant are. The Lord of hosts, and then the house of Israel, the house of Judah. They're the ones involved. Not the church, not us, them. Now verse 32. Verse 32. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them out of the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. Okay. God made a covenant at that point. It didn't work. And the reason it didn't work is because the Jews failed. So he's going to be making a new one. So the new covenant is now being made, and that's what we're referring to. The covenant which they took, that's Israel, although I was a new husband, I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. Now, verse 33. But, okay, we're going to introduce a but. This is the covenant which I will make, not made now, but I will make with the house of Israel after those days, after the house of Israel, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their hearts I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, just to give you an idea of what's going on, the beginning of the millennium, when the Jews come in, that will be starting into this period of time, they will all speak and deal with in the power of the Holy Spirit. There'll be no talking in the flesh by the Jews at that time. There'll be Gentiles, yes, and they will be. There will be some Jews in the period of time in the millennium, but it will start out with millennial believers of Israel only. Only. I had any question on that? All right, yes.
Term of the covenant that was broken by the Israelites, is that the Mosaic covenant? Because the Abrahamic, God said, I do alone. Right?
That is the Mosaic covenant, which I'll be talking about. That is exactly correct. They will not teach again. That's the new people that come into the millennium. They will not teach again. Each man his neighbor, each man his brother, saying, know the Lord. Now, in the church age, we do that now, but not in this time. For they will all know him, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin, I will remember no more. So these are the year today's dealing with the new covenant. So let's note a few things from this passage. One, the new covenant is ratified but not enacted. The new covenant is ratified but not enacted. He declares that he will make a cut. He will cut a new covenant. That will be done. The theological word book of the Old Testament says, quote, the most important use of the word of root of cut is to cut a covenant. A covenant must be cut because the slaughter of animals was part of the covenant ritual. End quote. All right. This does not involve the church. We have no more killing slaughtering of animals. Nothing. This is all over. This is a new time. Therefore, the shedding of blood, which is related to the making of the new covenant by Jesus Christ on the cross. Now, the shedding of blood is death. The word blood is important to Israel, not to us. But it is very important to Israel. Now, this is one of the primary reasons why the new covenant is mentioned in our communion. Right now, it is ratified in Jeremiah 31. But it is not enacted. It will be enacted. This in the future tense. It will be done future tense. Days are coming, or after these days, which refers to after the seven years promised by God. These are the 7 years known as the tribulation. I know we have to use the word tribulation a lot, but it gets lost for a lot of people. It's not so much that it's about the tribulation, it's about the Israel. 7 years promised to them and not yet fulfilled. It was stopped when Jesus Christ was crucified. The 7 years still owed, God owes to them in the promise of giving it to them, and that is the 7 years of the tribulation. But it's also called the 7 years of Israel. Now, at heaven, he will be the mediator of the covenant. That is in heaven. His death at the cross set Jesus up as the mediator, as of the new covenant. But he will be immediately to go to heaven. We know about that. And when he goes to heaven, he is the mediator of the covenant. But when his death already taken place, he was mediator of the covenant. At the time of his return to earth, when he comes back to earth, he will come and innate. He will start the new covenant with Israel when he comes back to earth. That's before us, after us. At this time, he will come back to earth, and at that time, he will start the enacting of the new covenant. This is why we, the church, has mentioned his death. We mentioned his death will come and enact the new covenant with Israel. This is why we, the church, mentions his death, that is his blood, as the Lord's Supper. This cup is the new covenant of his blood. That is by means of his death. It is not inaugurated during the church age, but it will be inaugurated when he comes back to this earth and starts the millennial kingdom. Now, this is why 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, you can open your Bibles, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 6, is so important to us today. 2 Corinthians 3, 4. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 3, 4. Such is the confidence we have toward God through Christ. This is church age. We have the confidence toward Christ, toward God through Christ. Now, verse 5. Not that we are adequate in ourselves, so as to consider ourselves as having come before ourselves, to having come from ourselves, but we are adequate. Now look at verse 6. This is the important verse. Who also, that's God, made us adequate servants. As servants. You got that? We're not the partakers. We're servants in the new covenant. Adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. The letter is the law. Not of the letter, not of the law, for the law kills. But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, gives life. Now, as I go through this, any part of this you don't understand, let's get this taken care of. It's not that big of a deal. Yes?
So I understand the new covenant is not enacted right now?
Nope.
But the Mosaic Law is not in place right now either.
No.
So, what do we call the...
Church.
Church age.
It's just called the church age.
It's called the church age. We have no covenant.
Okay.
There's no covenant made for the church.
Okay, and then one other question. You said at the beginning of the millennium, this covenant will be enacted with the Jew, the Israel, with Israel.
Yes.
Jews, and they will all be believers, and it will be through this.
Yes.
Directly
yes.
between them and God.
Yes.
But you said there will be Gentiles.
Yes.
So what is their covenant at that point?
Servants.
Okay.
They're going to be servants.
Okay.
This time. Okay. Yes.
When we believe in Jesus Christ, our positional place is his place as in the family, right? As a son or
in Christ, yes.
So we're a servant and a child of God?
Yes. We're servants of him to Israel. That's the main thing with our attitude of being a servant. Because right now, like you said, we belong to him. But we're servants of him too. We're going to be servant of him in the millennium. We'll be serving him in the world. Wherever we are. I hope I can get to come to Texas, but wherever it is, it's where we're going to be. Be a servant.
I think I know where you're going with the story. So the question, I think, is relationally with God, our relationship with him is still a direct relationship.
Absolutely.
And their relationship is a direct relationship.
Absolutely.
So what's the differentiation here?
Okay. The difference is Israel. Israel is the whole thing of Israel. They are close, directed to God by God's design. That's what they are. And the Jews are very important to God. And more in one sense, not more than the church, but differently than the church. We're not with them as they are. Yes?
I'm struggling too, because I read this passage before, and in NIV, they translate it as minister, which is very different to me than servant. And that's what I'm struggling with.
It should be servant.
It should be servant?
Should be servant, yes.
But it's not the word doula. It's not slave.
No.
Diakonos, which would be administrator.
Yeah.
Diakonos.
Yeah.
Not a slave. Okay.
But they said the translation of that is administrator. That's
not servant.
That's the way they translate it.
No, in Greek.
They're saying the Greek translation of that word, servant, yeah. is diakonos.
Yeah,
so who does that?
But yet, I'm just talking
okay, what you're talking about. Yeah, yes, all right. You went to the English. Greek. Okay. I went to you.
Not to be confused with the word doulos, which would be
yeah, servant. In the Greek, yes.
Servant,
in different the Greek. Oh. Which would be different. Not differently than the Hebrew, which is the servant here.
So we'd be still serving the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Administrating his.
We'd be administrators under Christ, administrating the new covenant.
Okay.
Whatever Christ decides that we want to do as far as.
Yeah, whatever part we do.
Okay. So that's what I'm going to be doing. I need to understand that.
From a human perspective, you're trying to
clear job description.
You want a direct relationship with the Lord. You want to know that, and I mean equal to the Jews. I understand. To me, it's almost the human perspective: blood relationship, friend relationship. I don't know if that's even accurate, but that's almost how it feels. Like, you know, my best friend. Versus the family.
That's what he calls us in the New Testament.
Okay.
We're his friend.
Okay.
He doesn't call us blood.
Huh?
He doesn't call us blood.
No. Calls us his friend. You're like my friend.
When he gave the communion, he said, "This is my blood."
That's his death.
Okay. For you.
Which he died for us.
In the new covenant.
In the new covenant.
But was he only talking to the Jews?
No, he's talking to the church. We're going to go through it again, just to that passage. But it is what he's doing is giving to us our relationship with Israel, but it's for at that later time, not now. We're just going to be servants.
The Jews, the Israelites, still have to believe in Jesus Christ.
Oh, absolutely. Those are the ones who will start the new covenant. Believers. Yeah. Yes, sir.
It, you say friend, but we're the church is the bride of Christ, mm-hmm. so it's,
yes.
it's a closer than just a friend.
Yeah, well, I hope when you marry somebody, it becomes your friend, but not always does. But there are several different words that we could be relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yes. I don't remember the rest of my question.
All right.
So a Jew, right now, a Jew, a believing Jew in Jesus Christ is not considered part of the church?
Yes, they're in the church. They're not in the New Covenant. They're in the church.
At this point in time.
That's what we'll be seeing in Ephesians, which we will get to one day.
This is after the rapture, so the church will have received their glorified body and they'll be reigning with Christ as ministers to the Jews.
Yeah.
During
that's it.
7 years.
That's it. We will be ministers of running it. Yes.
Well, and maybe
the millennium.
Clarification or it's a different dispensation. And each dispensation has different rules.
Yeah.
And under the millennium, you have the new covenant, which is the outlines, and I don't know what, we don't have paragraphs from the new covenant. Maybe that will be revealed when Christ comes back for the millennium. But the tribulation is the end of the Jewish age.
Jewish age.
And so then you have the millennium, which is a new dispensation.
Yes.
Rules. Identified in the new covenant.
Yes. Only there, too.
Yeah.
Okay?
Seems like you bring it up so early.
Huh?
Why did Jesus bring it up so early? Why did he just bring it up early?
Because he wanted to confuse us. No, he wanted us, as we're going to see in a few moments, he wants us to know our relationship with him in the future as well as right now.
And I think he wants the Jewish people to understand what their relationship is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay? All right. Now, we members of the church are not members of the New Covenant. The New Covenant is for Israel. But because of Jesus Christ's work on the cross, and because we believe in him, we are adequate to serve him. Now, and in the millennium. That's what we can do. Serve him now. That's what we're doing now. And in the millennium, we will. The new covenant is for Israel, never for the church. But we are adequate to be servants of Jesus Christ and of the new covenant. This is so important to God and to his relationship with Israel. That in the Lord's Supper, in the church, is the talk about the cup of the new covenant in my blood. That's a more church word. I mean, an Israel word in concept than the church. Remember that his blood is in reference to his death. In the thinking of Israel, thinking of blood of Israel, thinking about his death. Church age, we think about his death. Okay, so many times we partake of, every time we take care of communion, we are said to think of Jesus Christ in heaven as mediator of a new covenant, and we are to serve him now and then in the millennium. Serve him now and serve him in the millennium. Now, secondly, the declaration of the new covenant is spoken of in days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will cut a new covenant. This is never said or done before in the Old Testament. Now, point three, the covenant is cut with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not with the church. This new covenant is with the nation in total. There are no lost tribes of Israel. The old, this idea of lost tribes of Israel is not Britain, and is not the Indians in North America, nor is it the Mormons. All three have been used as a part of the new covenant, of the lost tribe. God has them intact, right now, intact, and knows with whom they are and where they are, and they will be part of the new covenant to come. For Yahweh, the Lord, we cut a new covenant with Israel and Judah. They must be present. So there's no such thing as lost people. Okay, 4. As the word covenant, well, we could spend hours on covenant, but we won't this morning. One reason why so many people are so difficult, the difficulty in understanding salvation in the Old Testament is a failure to understanding covenant. While we in the church age speak in terms of salvation, a Jew will speak in terms of covenant relationship with God, where God cut covenants with Israel, not with the church. Okay? Any help? Anything? All right. 5, covenants that involve God and man reveals the character of God. For example, there is nothing man can do for God, covenant-wise or church. But since man insists on doing this, something for God, God has come up with the Mosaic Covenant. Now it comes into play, which lists all that man must do. Man wants to be a work part of God. These are all the things you've got to do. If you do not do them all, if you miss one, you miss them all. So that ends their rule on that. Their pride, their joy to be in that. However, the covenant of Abraham is where God will simply save if one believes in Jesus Christ. Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned or imputed as righteousness. Okay? Any help? Okay.
I got a question real quick. Define the word covenant. Define it, Herman.
Relationship with God in unique ways.
Okay, so then it's covenant equals a policy statement,
yes,
from the God concerning each dispensational period.
Yes.
Okay, so that's what we're trying to move towards right now, is a differentiation in the policy statement, in the dispositions.
Okay, there is no policy statement in the church age as far as covenant. There is no covenant as far as the church is concerned. That is not in the Bible. It is not for the church.
So we're floating in the church age. We don't know when it kind of started. We don't know when it's going to end. But in between, this is what he's going to do for us.
Okay. We know when it starts. We know when it ends. And we know what we're to be doing in it.
Well, I didn't think there were any set time frames that we human beings refer to as the end. Oh, it's going to end on this year, this month, this day, this hour.
It will, but we won't.
We know the event.
Yeah, the event, but we won't. We'll know when it happens.
Right. So policy-wise, we've got the policy set, and we're waiting for the event, if you want to define it that way.
Yes.
And then when we step off, we're into the millennial phase.
Well, first of all, we're in tribulation, or the last 7 years to Israel for their covenant.
But we won't be.
We won't be.
No, we will not even be here. We will be up there at the judgment seat of Christ.
And
then at the wedding.
And for the Jews, during that phase, they will have turned, the ones that have run, the 144,000 that have run, and they have the great prophets with them, that will be the group that turns back around and talks to the other Jews about, hey, fellas, you're getting slaughtered here. You might want to, you know,
yes,
listen to this real quick.
Exactly. I hope that they word it a little better than that, but that's what they're going to be saying.
Hey, that's modern warfare.
That's what he's going to say.
That's
it.
Price tag.
Yeah.
There. Okay.
Okay. All right. Now, six. There are basically two types of covenants: conditional and unconditional. There are conditional covenants and unconditional covenants. Under a conditional covenant, both parties are under obligation, while under unconditional covenant, only one person is obligated. For an example, salvation is conditional, where God promises he will do everything necessary for salvation because he has sent his Messiah. But he will save everyone who fulfills one condition, and that is faith in Jesus Christ. They have to be believers. As we will see, the new covenant is an unconditional covenant made by God where he is responsible for everything. That's why they will come. The Jews, it's just going to be an unbelievable period. Think about it. There'll be no sinning from the Jews. They'll be here only filled with the Holy Spirit. It's going to be unbelievable. Yes.
Will they be? So you got a group of Jews that are in the tribulation. They're going to, and people that are going to move into the millennium.
Yes.
And God for the Jews that are moving into the millennium.
Yes.
Because any believers at that point, I mean, before the tribulation, they're gone. They're part of the church.
Yes.
Even if they're
yes.
Jews. Right. Even if they're of Israel.
Well, okay, yeah. Right. In that period.
Right. And so when they walk into the from the tribulation into the millennium, whether they're believers or not, this covenant is with them.
Okay. There will be no unbelievers at the beginning of the millennium.
They'll all have been.
Every one of them will be believers. Every one of them will be 100% empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Okay, so this covenant is for believing Jews that walk out of the tribulation into the millennium.
Yes.
Period.
Exactly.
And that's the scope.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Exactly. Yes.
For you.
Well, once everyone's a believer, will the old sin nature be removed?
Okay. It will not be removed. But it will not be. It'd be like being permanently filled with the Holy Spirit, like right now when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. The sin nature is there, but it's not operative.
But the Gentiles moving into the millennium, the believer Gentiles moving into
they're all believers
have their sin nature,
and they will act in it.
Yes,
they will act in it.
His that will have the sin nature,
right?
And in 1,000 years, that's when they rebel. And God takes care of it all.
Yeah.
But I believe God goes to show he can have perfect,
perfect plan.
And man's flesh will still screw it up.
Still mess it up. And that's exactly correct. We will create it up.
Probably why there's a difference in a covenant, because there will be Jews and there will be Gentiles.
Right.
Yeah.
We come back, we don't have any sin nature.
No.
Were you saying that the Gentiles entering the millennium or they have keep their sin nature, but the Jews do not?
No, they do keep their sin nature. That's not changed. It's that their sin nature is under control of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
The Gentiles don't have that capability.
They're
all believers, so they could. They could just like us.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just like us right now.
I was kind of hoping I was going to be a nice guy. Man.
No.
Well, you will be.
You'll be coming back. Christ.
Right. You'll be serving.
So the Gentiles that were in the tribulation, they lived through the tribulation and became believers.
Oh,
and then they go into the millennium with the Jews. But the Holy Spirit controls the Jews, and the people who have become believers that are Gentiles have to make decisions.
Yes.
Just like we do now.
Exactly like we do now.
So that's basically our deal. That was, and he didn't want to write it down. He just wants us to get it.
It's not our deal.
Just expounding on what you said a minute ago, but those of us that left here in the rapture and we come back for the millennial reign, we will not have our sin nature. Okay.
We will be Christ's light.
See, you are a good guy, Jeff.
We're going to the judgment seat of Christ, and a few will receive blessings and rewards.
Right.
Okay. All right. Now, huh? All right. Anything else? All right, number 7. From this declaration of the covenant is that it is new. From this we know that God promises a radical, radical change, and that's what we're talking about. Jews be no sin. That's a radical change. But let me tell you how God's plan is working very quickly. You've got the Old Testament, where you've got people that are indwelt by the Holy Spirit but not filled. Okay. And they could sin, not sin. Then you go to the church age. In the church age, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but we can sin. Then you go to the millennium, and you have believers who are empowered by the Holy Spirit and cannot sin. So God extends every one of these stages of the dispensations.
Okay. So when we say dispensation, we understand that as periods of time, but it's what is being dispensed, what's given out from God to man. And that thing that is being dispensed is God the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
They got God the Holy Spirit a specific way in the Old Testament.
Yes.
And we have God the Holy Spirit in a new and specific
new way.
And in the millennium, it's going to be a
new way.
Specific way.
New. Radical change.
Yeah.
Radical change.
Dispensation is God's
His relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Through the Spirit. Because in the Old Testament, He really made signs and stuff in the church age.
I love this. All right. Radical change in time and in the world. He will deal with or relates to the nation of Israel. New in relationship with the law, no law, and he forms a new covenant that is unconditional, filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And then finally, the new covenant is not even mentioned in regards to the church, but also in regards to Israel. Now, the new covenant is referred to in 6 times in the New Testament. What we've been looking at is 6 times in the New Testament. 1, Luke 22:20. Luke 22:20. And this is the same way he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood." Now, what I want you to be sure that you got to understand at this point, Matthew 26, Mark 14 does not mention the new covenant. It mentions covenant, but not a new covenant. That word is used is in that period only in Luke 22. Now, the second time it is referred in the New Testament, our passage, 1 Corinthians 11:25, that we'll be studying in a few minutes. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So we will be remembered of the new covenant that is coming. Now,
can I interrupt you?
Sure.
The point before Luke 22:20 that you...
Point number 8.
Yeah, I think that was 8.
Luke 22.
No, before that.
Point number 8.
Oh, number 8. The new covenant is not even mentioned in regards to the church, but only in regards to Israel.
Did you get that? Is that it? All right, thank you.
We're mentioned in it, but not part of it. We're going to be servants, but we're not related to it. Okay, 2 Corinthians 3:6. 2 Corinthians 3:6. Who also made us adequate as servants. That's very important. As servants of a new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter of the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. Is that clear? Alright, the next one, the fourth one, Hebrews 8:8. For finding fault with them, Jews, he says, behold, days are coming, as we do with the millennium, says the Lord, when I will effect a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not the church. Also, next, number nine, Hebrews 9:15, for this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that since a death has taken place, that's the cross, for the redemption of the transgression that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. And then finally, the sixth place we're mentioned is in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 24. Hebrews 12, 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. Okay, so the new covenant is referred to six times in the New Testament, but is referred to, as far as in it being active, refers only to Israel. Now, there are basically seven covenants between God and man. Seven covenants. One, the Adamic covenant, promise of salvation. Two, Noahic or covenant. Now, the Noahic covenant, no more destruction of the world by flood. The reference to the seasons and the days and nights shall not cease. Part of that covenant. Three, the Abrahamic covenant, unconditional, given to nation of Israel, a four-part covenant. One, increase in the number, great number of people. Two, personal blessings. Three, material and spiritual prosperity. Three, made him a great nation. And three, Abraham was also to be a blessing to his people, namely the coming of the Messiah. So there's your covenants of Israel. And then seven, the new covenant. The new covenant to Israel, to believers only, indwelling and permanent meeting of the filling of the Holy Spirit. So, in closing, we know the name of the new covenant. It's the new covenant. We know, too, the maker of the new covenant, that's the Lord. We know, three, the parties of the new covenant, the Lord and the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not for the church. And then four, the time of the covenant, future days determined by God, when I will cut or make this covenant. We know from study of the passages that the covenants in the Bible are for Israel, not for the church. Therefore, God makes us available to be servants of God for the new covenant. We will be servants. So the communion is of worship of the church, but to remember to remember the church, to remember it. Part is they are to serve the Lord during the church and during the enactment of the new covenant. Yes.
Can I ask one more clarification?
Sure, absolutely.
You've said we will be servants of Israel. We, the Gentiles in the church age, who are believers, will have gone during the tribulation to the judgment seat of Christ, and we will return and reign with Christ in the millennial reign.
Yes.
In our resurrection body. Right?
In the covenant. New covenant.
In our resurrection body.
Yes. And then yes.
Is that different than Gentiles from a group of people? Because you say us, will we be serving Israel, or will there be a group of people, Gentiles, moving from the tribulation into the millennium, believers, right, that will not be sealed with the Holy Spirit like sealed's probably the wrong term, will not be locked in from a sin standpoint. Is that the group that's serving? Because it feels like there's multiple groups of believers that are going to be in the millennium. Those that return in the resurrection body, those that are Jews that are going to not have a resurrection body, will have an old sin nature, because we won't, right?
Nope. We won't.
So when you say us, is we will be serving all Gentiles?
Even Jews of the church age. So believers. Believers of the church age will be the servants of the new covenant.
Even the house from the house of Israel.
If in the age of Israel, in the church age, there's no special place for a Jew saved like today. If a Jew is saved today, they become a member of the church.
He's okay. Not the house of Judah, or
they're not part of house. They're not part of Judah.
They relinquish their Judaism.
Yes, they become part of the church. They become part of the church. That's what Isaiah is about. What we'll be sitting about in Ephesians chapter 2. They will be all become one. God will do that. They'll all become one one body. The age of Israel. I will be Jews and Gentiles. One body in this period.
I need a picture. So I'll see if I can.
Are we going to be segregated in heaven?
Do what?
Are we going to be segregated in heaven?
In heaven?
Jews, like, okay, here's the Jews and they did this, and here's the Gentiles and they did this, and here's the Jews that did this with the Gentiles.
No, in heaven, all believers will be treated as believers. Not Jews, not Gentiles.
So dispensations disappear in heaven?
In heaven.
It's all over.
As far as that's concerned.
Millennium
is for the ages, not for history, not for eternity.
So the Gentiles that become believers in the millennium and ourselves have no difference in their role during the millennium?
Believers?
Believers, Gentiles who become believers in the millennium, that's going into the millennium, versus ourselves,
which are totally different,
who are reigning with Christ. What is our difference?
Okay, they will go. There's the debate we have. Do you believe that the age of Israel is on earth, or it just is in that land between the earth and the new heaven and the new earth? So as to where it is. But it will be different. It will be separated between believing Gentiles and Jews.
Mary, we're the bride. They're not.
Right, but we're all servants, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're all ministers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're servants now, but we're servants as administrators.
I appreciate that.
Wait a minute.
Corporate business.
Yes.
Did we get it? Did you understand? No, don't do that.
I'm not sure that I do.
Okay, all right. So, let me ask you a question.
Wait.
Do you know what happens to believers that are Gentiles in the millennium?
We come back and we reign with Christ.
Yes.
As servant administrators.
Yes.
But she wanted to.
But in serving Jews, serving Israel.
Serving anybody.
Servants.
Servant
administrators of the Lord serving the Israel, right?
Yeah. Now, let me just finish this. So let's just deal with a believer, Gentile, millennium. He will be here in eternity, but he will not be on earth. Or he will not be meet with Jews. They will be in their own area, in the new area they're going to be in. There will be a new heavens and a new earth. There will be a place that the Jews will be come together. But the Gentiles will be a servant of God throughout all of this.
Thank you. I think that's clear.
Okay, now, does this take care of Gentile believers in the tribulation, or in the millennium? In the tribulational period.
Gentiles in the tribulational period that become believers?
Yes.
Well, there's believers to step in.
They'll go on into the millennium.
Yes. And they worked at those. Okay.
So,
what would be the difference between a Gentile today and a Gentile in the tribulation, in the millennium?
We will be reigning with Christ, and they will be in a new part of heaven.
That's, you said the key thing. They will get new.
Yeah.
We do not.
Right.
We will become servants of Him. We are servants of Him. Okay? All right? Anything else? Okay. So, yes.
Thing I'm trying to approach it from non-English speaking person, servant, I hear two meanings.
Mm-hmm.
One is person providing service, not necessarily a slave. And not really administrator as in the authority almighty to give administration either. But just serve. You know, just like you go to a restaurant and a waiter come and serve you. They're not your slave.
Right.
They just serve you.
Right.
Something. And then the second one is actually servant as is really being below the, another class of citizen or something.
Well, this one is not involved in our study.
Okay.
The ones are below. They're none of those.
So we're just providing the service.
Yes. We're serving with him. Okay?
So a Jewish person today... He has to become a believer to be saved and have to live in eternity with the Lord.
Yes.
But on the other hand, I can see a Jewish person that understands this maybe thinking, well, if I become a believer and go that route,
mm-hmm.
then I lose my special standing with the Lord in the millenniums. So maybe I'm thinking I'm going to hold off.
Yeah, but if you're not,
but if you hold off, then you don't get that opportunity anyway. You don't go.
That's right.
Yeah. As a believer.
Now let's make one thing very clear.
Am I right?
Yes.
Let's make one thing very clear. Being a member in the church in Ephesians chapter 2, the two become one. They are not superior or inferior to the being a Jew in the Old Testament or in the eternity. There's not a better. They're not better. Now, it is not better to be a Jew in the millennium or in the eternity future than it is to be a believing Gentile.
Okay, now they have a special relationship with the Lord.
Yes, they have a special place with the Lord because they're the Lord's people.
Yeah, and only through a promise. It's not like they're even better than us.
Yeah.
They prove that time and time again.
And we have a special relationship with the Lord too.
Yes, exactly. Very special.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we're considered royalty. We are priests. Considered royalty in the role.
Yeah.
Even believers in the Old Testament will welcome us as we go to God, because they didn't have this. They didn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And the only reason we do is because Christ gave it to us at the time we believed and on the cross.
See, if I wanted to say what you're saying at this point, it's better to be a believer through the church age than the age of Israel in the Old Testament. But that is done away with in the future when all Jews become one and the church is one.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
What about the Gentile believers before Christ, like Rahab and Ruth and the line of Christ? They're not. They weren't Jews. They're believers.
They're believers, and that's what they are.
They're there.
That's what they are.
So do they... Because
believing prior to the cross is the same as believing past the cross.
Right.
Yeah.
By faith alone.
By faith in the Messiah.
But they're still not in that same category as the other Israelites.
No. No, they're not.
Maybe just...
No, they're not.
By the time we get up there, it's not going to matter anyway. You know, I mean, it's going to be...
We're so used to different classes of people, and that is not going to be the case.
No.
Well, heaven's not equal either.
Right.
No.
No,
it is not.
There's not going to be any animosity. There's not going to be any jealousy. If you see somebody that you know, family, friends, and they've gone a little farther in the plan of God, and they're a little higher than you in heaven for eternity, you look at them the same as you look at a son or a daughter that made better in the world. There's no jealousy.
No problem.
No. So it's like it's total perfect toward that person.
In fact, right now, if you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you can go into a millionaire's home and no problem. Yeah. You go, wow, what a beautiful home, and go right on back to your little poor place.
So,
so
what you're saying is, feelings of enviousness or jealousy or any of that stuff that would cause what we think of as humans right now. You know, you're jumping to someone at a higher level. Well, that won't exist because we don't have a sin nature at that point.
It won't. It doesn't even last to be today if you're filled with the Holy Spirit.
If you are.
Right now.
I can do it for a minute or two.
When you are.
All right. Anything else? Well, this is complicated. And I'm glad we've gone through it. A lot of people are not aware of what we're just going through. And they're arguing and going through it. And I have several pastors that are meeting. They meet and go through all of this, what we're doing. They'll spend hours on it. So we'll just keep going through it and hopefully make it clearer and clearer each time. Yes.
Yeah, I would strongly suggest we probably don't bring this up to all of our Christian friends that don't go to church here.
No.
Argue about it.
No. No. We'd not do that. And not do that.
This would be one for argument.
Yeah. Oh, man, absolutely. Absolutely.
How many hours of doctrine do you suppose it would take before they would join us in this?
Oh, they'd never join.
About 20 years.
All right, let's get ready for worshiping in our communion. So we have our communion, full of communion. So... We have two parts, the bread and the cup. So first of all is the bread, which is a picture of Jesus Christ on the cross for our sins. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that Jesus Christ made the decision, come to the cross, take our place. We're so thankful, Father. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is for you, in remembrance of me." Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the body of Christ. We're so thankful for the death and resurrection of Christ. Father, we pray now, as we go into the communion, we're glorifying you, glorifying your Son, getting ourselves ready for when Jesus Christ returns to this earth. To this end, Father, we do pray in Christ's name. Amen. It is our custom that everyone hold a cup until everyone is served. Okay, so what? We've been here this morning. What's happened? So what? So what, the new covenant? So what, all of this? What's it mean to me? What's it matter to me? It's what it matters right now, the part of the communion that we're involved. This is going to cause us to think Jesus Christ is coming again, coming with Israel, setting up on the kingdom in the millennium. We will come and work with him, serve with him, but he is the one that he is the Lord. And all the Jews are now being the new covenant. So with that in mind, let's stand. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, that's after the Passover, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, death on the cross. Do this as often as you think of it in remembrance of me." Remembrance, because he's going to fulfill it when he comes again. So let's do this in remembrance of him. Invite everyone to stay for fellowship afterwards with each other, eating together. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the studying of the Word of God. Pray, Lord, Father, that you speak, your Holy Spirit will make it clearer and clearer and clearer to us about this covenant, this new covenant. It's not for us, but Heavenly Father, you've made it part of our being. You've made us servants in it. So Father, we want to learn and understand all these things. We thank you for the food we're about to partake of. We thank you for the fellowship we have with each other. In Christ's name, amen.